Good morning, everyone. My name is Clara, and I'm from Cullinan West House Church. Before we begin, let me open us up in a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for gathering us this morning to read your word. I pray for Holy Spirit to lead us. Lord, help us to receive what you want us to hear today. Father, would you give us wisdom in understanding what you have prepared for us? Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to guide every word that I will speak. I pray for a heart of humility, and I just lift all that up in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us turn to the One app. Today, this is marked as day 29, to serve and not to be served. The first passage comes from John 13, verses 1 to 17. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that this hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Now let us turn to the second passage. That is in 1 John 4:11 to 12. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." Amen. So today's passage is an account of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And every time I come across this story, I always focus on the act of, you know, the symbol of Jesus washing the disciples' feet and how this reflects humility and servanthood. No doubt, I think it was unheard of that, you know, the King of Kings would touch anybody's feet. And back in the days, people walked a lot. It was on sandy ground and dirt, and you would expect their feet to be very dirty. It wasn't just a servant's job to wash their feet. It was like the lowest of the lowest servants that who would have this job. So it was clearly something that you don't want to do. So this reflects the humility when Jesus decides to wash the feet of the disciples. But apart from the act, I would like to share with you today some observations based on the very circumstances that Jesus was in when he did this. During Jesus's lives, he gave a lot of teaching. So I think it's important for us to bear in mind that Jesus chose to give this teaching at this particular time under these circumstances. Now, firstly, verse 1 tells us that this was before the Feast of the Passover, and specified that this was when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father. In fact, just the chapter before, we already saw that Jesus was foretelling about his own death. So this wasn't knowledge that Jesus just came to know at this hour. Here, the author took the opportunity to emphasize the timing again, that Jesus knew he had little time left. So this was not just another day that Jesus was teaching. This was literally his last hour on earth. To translate this into our life, it may sound something like, the question, if you were to die soon, what is on your bucket list? And for many of us, we may stop what we're doing and go travel or go enjoy ourselves. For Jesus, even in his very last hour, he chose to spend time with his disciples and to serve them by washing their feet. After knowing just how little time Jesus had, I came to appreciate Jesus's priority even more and just how selfless he was. He chose to humble himself to serve others. He chose to spend his time teaching and empowering the disciples. Now, in verse one, it also says that Jesus loved them to the end. And the idea behind the phrase to the end doesn't just mean to the end of Jesus's earthly life. Because if you think about it, Jesus never actually finished or stopped loving them. His love does not come to an end. It's more accurate for us to understand this phrase, love them to the end, to mean that Jesus loved them to the fullest extent, to the utmost, and without limitation. So as I was meditating on what happened and, Jesus's circumstance, I was reminded of the verse in Matthew 6:24. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. If I was in Jesus's situation, knowing that, my time is going to come to an end, I imagine that I would be quite anxious or worried about what will happen. But, from the Bible, we know that Jesus didn't worry about tomorrow. Instead, he very much focused on serving today. So perhaps this is a timely reminder for some of us to let go of the worries about the unknown of tomorrow and focus on just living today. Just faithfully doing what we have been called to do in this season. In verse two, as the scene is being set, we also learned that this event took place during supper, and it was stressed that by then, the devil has already put into Judas's heart about his betrayal. What struck me was that, Jesus at that time already knew that the disciples and, Judas would betray him, but he still chose to washes everyone's feet. I think this reminds us that in Jesus's eyes, everyone is truly equal and equally lovable, no matter what sin they will commit. Jesus didn't just love the disciples out of any selfish reason or any benefit that he would get from them. Again, if I was in Jesus's situation, knowing that, Judas would turn against me, I imagine that I would be quite bitter and disappointed in Judas because, I spent my days teaching him, but then in the end, it was no reward. He betrayed Jesus. And from my experience, I can understand how difficult it is to forgive someone who has hurt me. But here we see Jesus demonstrating not just loving them, he demonstrated the extra step of extending grace and love to our enemy. As we learn to love like Jesus, I think this entails not just forgiving those who have wronged us, but we want to get to a place where we can offer our genuine blessing to them. This is the very picture of the gospel that Jesus taught us by dying on the cross for us while we were still sinners. Now, moving on to the act of feet washing, this was actually a very dramatic scene, if you will. During those times, it was customary for the servants to wash the feet of the guests as they enter a house, and this is especially the case during a formal meal. But for some reason, this didn't happen when Jesus or the disciples entered the house. And so in the story, you know that it was only during supper. So it sounds like it was in the middle of supper that Jesus got up to wash the disciples' feet. Now, one commentary that I read suggested that the disciples would probably have gladly washed the feet of Jesus. They knew that Jesus was their Lord. But maybe the problem was that if someone initiates to wash Jesus's feet, it would probably mean that they are also available to wash each other's feet. Now, this would be quite intolerable because it would be a sign of them being inferior to each other. Especially, you would think that among the fellow disciples, they were just competing to be, the greatest among themselves. So, to avoid that, it seems like they ate their meal with their dirty feet. And rightly so, Jesus taught the disciples to wash one another's feet. This led me to reflect about how it's easy for us, or easier for us, to say we want to serve Jesus Christ. But in our serving, we may sometimes be selective in who or how we want to serve. There might be people who are easier for us to love, and others who I find it quite difficult to love or serve. So personally, I admit that I find it much easier when it's to serve the poor or the homeless. But for me, I lack compassion when it comes to, richer people or those who are more financially well off. So how about you? Is it easier for you to serve, say, your brothers and sisters in your house church, compared to maybe your colleagues who may be the ones competing against you for a promotion? In Matthew 25:40, it says that to the extent that you did it for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me. Now, the final point that I want to share is that serving others can be something very simple. Serving our neighbors doesn't mean that we have to quit our job or do full-time ministry. It doesn't have to be something grand, or that we may even visit the poor or heal the sick. For Jesus, in his last hour, he could have actually performed many more miracles. He could heal as many sick people as he could, but instead, he chose to do something as simple as washing the feet of the disciples. This was something that was probably done every day. So it could be something that, loving others, it could be something that is, around us, something, or people that, we are called to serve may not be so far away after all. For me, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, oh, maybe I can wash the dishes so my husband doesn't need to do it. For you, if you have a helper, maybe you could offer to do the dishes one evening and give your helper some extra time off. Or maybe it's something as simple as sending a text to say hello to someone that you haven't talked to for a long time. Or a family member, or a friend, or maybe a colleague, a brother's or sister from church. So now I would like to invite Annie to lead us into a time of worship and reflection. And as we worship, I would like to encourage you to ask God if there is someone around you that He has placed in your heart and that He's calling you to serve. And I encourage you to ask God how you can do about this. Let us ask God to speak.
And the meditations of my heart. be pleasing to you, my God. You're my rock and my redeemer. You're the reason that I sing. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes.
Now let us move to the prayer on today's One app. Dear Lord, thank you for being the best model to demonstrate to us what it means to love and to serve each other. May you grant us a humble and gentle heart, not to be arrogant, not to despise others, not to be served. May you use our service to bring blessings to the world so that more people can feel the great love of Christ. Glory be to our Lord. In Jesus' name. Let's pray now for our community. Let's pray for our friends and family members who are battling cancer and going through therapy, surgery, and radiation. Let's pray for those who are sick and have yet to meet Jesus as their Savior. Let us pray for those in our community who are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Pray for God's healing hands. Let us also pray against COVID, for God's healings to come, for protection of family members and those who have COVID right now. We also want to pray for all the frontline workers that is in our community. Let's pray for those who are looking for a job. We pray that God will open doors and guide them during this process. Let's pray for mission focus. SPB, JSBSH, the Chongs, and all the churches around China. Let us pray for everyone that's on the board. May God give our leaders wisdom in guiding us. Let's move on to pray for our fellowship ministries. There's young adults, which is the alternate Sunday Bible study, the men's ministry, we meet on Monday lunchtime, and also Pure Desire, the women's ministry, and they meet every Tuesday lunchtime. We also pray for SB 2.0. Let us pray for God's provision, for Him to provide us with the building and the resources that's needed, be a benefactor, and just cover the vision fund. Let's also pray for the sisters in our community who are currently pregnant. Let's pray for God's protection during this time and peace of mind. Pray for a smooth process. Our sisters Hazel, Joan, Carmen, Fiona, Leslie, Dio, Winnie, and others. Let's ask God's protection over them. always pray for the house churches that are meeting today. We pray for God's guidance and just a fruitful time of discussion and a time of encouragement. These are house churches including Chai Tea, Fortress, Jia, Nidu, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TST, and West Building. Father God, thank you for the word today. Thank you for sending Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, for showing us how we can love each other. May your love fill each of us today. May your Holy Spirit fill and connect us. And help us and guide us in how we can love those around us, especially those who make it difficult for us to love. Help us not be arrogant, Lord, and help us have a heart of humility. Center of our interactions with everyone today. May you guide us, Lord, and protect us today. I just pray and seal all these prayers in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.